Classic Business Sustainability.
Time for this week's sustainability slot, which is brought to you by Receipt Bank, the SIP scanning app that makes bookkeeping effortless. Go to receiptbank.com for more information. Well, the big talking point this week, and indeed into next week, and in fact it should be every week, is the world's attention on climate and climate change. From the global youth strike for climate tomorrow, we've got the United Nations Climate Action Summit that kicks off on the 23rd, which is on Monday, and Climate Week in New York as well. So it's very clear that the heat is being turned up around the issue of climate change. Now, South Africa is among some of the leading economies, such as Japan and Australia, who actually won't be speaking at next week's Crunch UN Climate Change Summit because of our continued commitment for coal and how that clashes with the demands of the organization's Secretary General as he sounds the alarm on climate change. We've also seen Greta Thunberg, who is a very well-known climate activist, as I lose my voice here, who has made an impassioned plea with a testimony not of her own, but she just handed over the IPCC special report on global warming because she implored the world to listen to the scientists. It also takes place at a time when local South African industry is pushing back against the introduction of carbon taxi in South Africa. Well, I'm joined now by James Rieler, a bioenergy project manager at WWF South Africa and a partner to the African Climate Alliance, which is tomorrow's mass mobilization organizer. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Also on the line, we've got Marcel Buckner, a business development manager for Sub-Saharan Africa at Eaton South Africa, which is a power management company, a global power management company with a footprint in 175 countries across the world and plays in the energy efficient solution space. So certainly a carbon tax would be good for business for Eaton. Evening, Marcel.
Good evening, Marco. Thanks for having me on here.
And we've also got Xavier Prevost, who's a very well-known senior coal analyst at Consulting, who rounds up the trio. Xavier, thanks for joining us.
Hi, guys. Thank you. Good evening to you.
James, perhaps you can kick us off. Tomorrow we're expecting one of the biggest climate mobilizations that the world has ever seen, and South Africans are going to be playing their part too. What's the background to this global mobilization tomorrow?
I guess it's twofold. I mean, firstly, obviously, as you say, there's the UN Summit on Climate Action. And really what this is the UN Secretary General realizing that all of the national commitments to climate change under the Paris Agreement are insufficient. And next year, in 2020, there's the opportunity for everybody to improve their, for all nations to improve their commitments. And so this summit is to try and drive that. And globally, the climate strike is a massive mobilization of popular support for significant improvement in climate action. That means people really believe we can do better and we must do better.
What are the local organizers calling for in concrete terms?
So the local organizers, the African Climate Alliance, is largely being guided by the youth, and this has been one of the big things that's happened worldwide. But it's a number of NGOs, a number of different organizations. So effectively what we're calling for in South Africa is we're looking to, by the middle of the century, to effectively decarbonize our economy. That means that we need to be looking at phasing out fossil fuels as much as possible, and particularly within the energy sector where there is eminently viable alternatives, we should be looking at doing that as soon as possible. There's a number of additional calls where we're looking for actually climate justice. We need to be trying to ameliorate the impact on those who are most affected, which are typically the poor and those who are least responsible for these actions. And we need this transition to be just, which means that we need to make sure that the movement into a low-carbon economy doesn't drop people through the net. So we need to make sure that jobs are supported, and there's a lot of potential for that in the transition, but it does require comprehensive government planning.
Javier, if you look at this, coal has emerged as a key issue ahead of that meeting in New York. 63 countries are expected to speak. But in letters and conversations with heads of state, Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, has demanded that countries attending the summit stop building new coal-powered stations altogether and reduce their fossil fuel subsidies, as well as committing to net zero emissions by 2050. So the demands go beyond what was agreed in Paris, and they certainly haven't gone down well in all quarters. In fact, on Tuesday, Roger Baxter, who's head of the Minerals Council, was on the show saying that in this transition to a less carbon-intensive economy, we cannot destroy what we have as a country, and that is the established coal sector that taps into our vast reserves, but also is a massive contributor to the economy and a vast employer. Pragmatic logic points to us not being able to switch our coal industry off.
Is that a question for me?
Well, I just wanted you to respond to what James was saying in the fact that what the Alliance for African Climate is calling for is for us to divest from fossil fuels.
Right. It's a very easy thing to do. We just close the mines, we close the power stations, and then we go all to sleep. We become a second Zimbabwe in Africa. It's not a problem. It's very easy. If we want to carry on business, and if we want to carry on business the way we are, and without loss of more labor and more economy and more finances, we need to run the coal mines as they were. And we need to open more coal mines and, of course, maybe a couple more of power stations. There's no other way to do it. Unless we want to go into renewables and then spend not what we're spending now for energy, but maybe two or three times more. That is the other solution.
Marcel, from your perspective, the talk is about a just transition. How do we balance the need to be decarbonizing the energy system while being mindful of the needs of South Africa's people and our socioeconomic as well as our environmental responsibilities?
So we feel the coal industry has played a large and important role in SA's economy, but now we have to start looking to the future. So we really have to make some hard choices if we want to continue living on this planet. So reducing the role of coal in favor of renewables is not really an either-or situation. It's a real fact. We're going to reach the tipping point. Currently, I believe that workers can be reskilled, upskilled to fill roles in renewable or affiliated sort of industries. So really, ideally, there should be limited job losses. But that will require coal and renewable industry to get together and formulate an action strategy.
This all takes time, though. James, what are you calling for at tomorrow's mass mobilization? When we talk of this just energy transition, it's certainly not something structurally, if we look pragmatically at the structure of the South African economy, that can happen over the next 5 to 10 years. This looks like something that will have to take place over the next 30 to 40 years.
I mean, it's a question of priorities. So certainly the transition can happen a lot more rapidly than that. One of the sort of key arguing points has often been this point of the cost, relative cost of renewables, and historically renewable energy has been much cheaper, has been much more expensive. But at present, renewables are much cheaper, and globally, in fact, new renewables are coming online cheaper than the operating cost of currently built coal mines. So, you know, the cost here is effectively, it's a saving when you're making that transition. So South Africa, one way or another, by 2050, is going to have a whole new energy economy in any case. The majority of our coal generating plants are aging and would be retired by then. Just bringing forward the retirement a little bit can make the transition happen much more quickly and actually effectively would reduce the cost of energy on the grid. And as has already been pointed out, there are a lot of jobs to be had in the transition. Globally, if you look at countries that have had some manner of transition to renewable energy, she sees 3 to 5 times as many jobs being generated in the renewable sector as compared to the current coal sectors within those areas. And we're seeing in South Africa that the coal sector is being is seeing job losses regardless of the sort of political pressure. It's happening on an economic basis. So one way or another, we're looking at this as the opportunity to realize more jobs and to realize a decarbonization at the same time.
Javier, when it comes to the coal assets, there's been a lot of change of ownership recently, a lot of divestiture, South 32 to Mike Teke's company. We see unconfirmed rumors largely on Bloomberg yesterday that Sasol might be divesting of its coal assets. I don't know why it would divest of its key feedstock. There has been, in general, what appears to be a flood out of coal. How do you see the coal market and the dynamics that are at play at the moment?
Well, it looks like, you say, very bad news, and looks like people are not interested in coal mining anymore. But if you look at the reality on the ground, there is growth, and in spite of what was just said now, it's not decreasing, but increasing in the coal mines. And not only that, but we had a conference a week ago in Middelburg, and we discovered that the coal industry is vibrant and it's good and it's very healthy. And not only that, but there's a number of new projects and new mines that are just about to happen. We need the support, of course, of government to get the finances from the right places. But that's happening, and I could see that the Department of Minerals and the Department of Energy, that are now one, are busy trying to implement new moves towards the creation of a climate here in South Africa where investment are going to be more readily available. And that's all we need. We need to have enough capitals to start new mines, which are going to be the replacement of the older mines that are now busy closing down. But the resource in the ground is still there. It's plentiful. And I don't see any need to worry for us, for the coal industry. Of course, there are other people that don't want the mines, they don't want coal mines, they don't want, what they say, emissions. Of course, they worry about us. But we're doing the right job, I believe, for this country, and we're doing it properly. And the thing is, not only are we doing we have a good idea how to do these mines, but also using technologies, new technologies that are coming to this country abundantly, and those technologies will prevent us from emitting as much CO2 and the other gases that we used to emit. So in all, I think we're doing an excellent job here in South Africa. And the Department of Mines and Energy are behind us.
Marcel,
can I just jump in there?
Yeah, James?
So I really need to push back on this concept of reduced emissions coal. I mean, effectively, there is no way to burn coal without emitting carbon dioxide. So clean coal technology really just does mean sort of increasing the efficiency by as much as 5%. And that is really not good enough. If we're talking about a climate crisis where within another 11 years, at current emission rates, we will have exceeded the possible the limit for our 1.5 degrees. And when we look at a globe where we have increasing populations that are more and more at risk from climate impact, that means a reduced harvest, those increased natural disasters. What we need is urgent action. And so whilst I hear the point that we may be able to maintain our coal industry, the question is not whether we can, but rather whether we should, given that we have a viable alternative that also creates employment. And I would strongly urge that we need to accept the reality that we have to stop emitting completely.
Well, I have to stop it there. We're certainly not waiting for the future when we're talking about climate change. If we look at the records that are being set all over the world, we're not trying to fend it off. We're living in it. That future is now, and it is us, James Reeder, Bioenergy Project Manager at WWF South Africa and partner to the African Climate Alliance, Javier Prevost, Coal Analyst with XMP Consulting, and Marcel Buckner, Business Development Manager for Sub-Saharan Africa at Eaton. The amount of paperwork that businesses store is unsustainable. Now you can scan or snap your slips and bank statements with Receipt Bank, the tool that does your data entry for you and stores it in the cloud. Book a demo at receiptbank.com and use the code RB20 to get 20% off your Receipt Bank subscription. T's and C's apply. Say goodbye to paper storage and the costs that come with it, and say hello to a sustainable business. This sustainability panel was brought to you by Receipt Bank, the slip scanning app that makes bookkeeping effortless. Go to receiptbank.com for more information. Well, that's a wrap from the Classic Business team tonight. Saan Mohammed is in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Steyn up next with Winding Down. Good night.